Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael. And today I'm so excited to introduce one of my new friends, Ashley Bellamy. That's a name that when you think about it, certain things come to your mind, like Chick-fil-A, right, Ashley?
Yeah.
But today we're here to talk about something else that's really exciting. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to be talking about the Isaiah house, Isaiah 117 house. And we're going to get into that. But first, Ashley, welcome. Thank you for joining us today, just being willing to talk a little bit about what's going on in your life.
Perfect. I love to talk about this.
Yeah.
It's exciting. Yeah.
So before we get started, though, if you just want to give us a little background on you and where you're from and a little bit about how you grew up and how you ended up at the Isaiah 117 house, and we'll get into that ministry.
Okay, super. So I am originally from East Tennessee, and I'm sure that everybody listening to this podcast will hear a little twang in my voice. I did talk to my mom this morning, and most of the time after I've talked to her, it's my accent's worse than it usually is. I grew up in a home with mom and dad, and I have an older brother that's 2 years older, a younger brother that's 10 years younger. Mm. It was the best surprise of 1984. Probably the most least trauma-filled life a kid could grow up in. I mean, it was great. And then I went to college. I majored in early childhood special education, and I was actually a special ed teacher for 5 years, and I really wanted to be a principal, but I didn't end up doing that. Met my husband, we got married, lived in Tennessee for 2 years after we were married, and then we moved to South Carolina. I taught school for 3 years in South Carolina. Then we decided maybe we wanted to do something together. And it was not going to be in a ministry per se, because Greg was not a preacher. And so I applied for Chick-fil-A, and I had worked there from the time I was 15 till I was 22. And I don't know, something about that little chicken place just gets in your blood. And you just live it and love it. And we applied. They picked us. We moved to Richmond. That was 2001. Had about a nine-month-old baby. And we lived in Richmond for 4.5 years. And then we got the opportunity to get a new opportunity here in Harrisonburg. So we applied again to get the store that they were building in Harrisonburg. Did not know one soul here. And it was a little bit closer to our families. And in Tennessee, it takes like 4 hours to get to their house. And so they picked us again. And so we have been here in the Valley for almost 19 years.
Wow.
Chick-fil-A opened January 26, 2006. It was a Thursday. It was a good day. I must mention that in the Richmond time to move in here, I had another child, and his name is Ben. Both of my children, Ellie Grace and Ben, were graduates of the Kids Harbor. So,
yes,
you know.
Yes, yes.
Uh-huh. And Ben was actually a two-year-old dropout, though, because he bit somebody. But that's a whole nother story. So we've lived here for 19 years. Do Chick-fil-A. I love Chick-fil-A. And I was able to meet Rhonda. The Isaiah 117 house started in Carter County, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And that is Elizabethton, Tennessee. A lot of people have probably never heard of it. There's no interstate that goes through there. So you wouldn't pass it on the interstate. So you got to go through Johnson City to get to Elizabethton. Mm-hmm. And that's Carter County. And 1 year, well, I nominated the Gus Bus every year because I love the Gus Bus. And I think everybody should be able to read and have that opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I love the Gus Bus because it goes places that need books, and they provide that for children. Mm-hmm. And then they do some other things too, like they were having a farmer's market at a time and stuff like that. And I love the guest bus. So I nominated the guest bus every year for the True at Kathy True Inspiration Awards that the Chick-fil-A Inc. gives out to nonprofits in different region. I nominate them every year till they won. And they won.
That's awesome.
So in 2019, my besties in Elizabeth and that have the Chick-fil-A nominated the Isaiah House. And they won. So we were all at, in Atlanta, at a gala together. And that's where I met Rhonda Paulson and Corey. I had met Corey but once before because he used to work for Mary and Tommy. But we were all sitting. I said, tell me about this house. And so she told me a little bit of her story and how they went to foster care training to be foster parents. And they took them to a field trip to the CPS office or DSS office, whatever we want to call it. And they said, so when children are removed from their home and they are awaiting placement, they come here at the office and they sit and wait. And she was like, wait, what? She said, I raised my hand and was like, well, what do you mean they come here? She said, they are a ward of the state. The CPS, the caseworker is their guardian. So they have to stay with them. So they come here and they wait for their placement. And so Rhonda thought at that time, I think that was 2017, in her mind, she was like, what if there was a home that they could come to instead? So that was the birth of the Isaiah 117 house. They ended up opening that home in Carter County in 2018, and then they won the award in 2019. And so that's how I met her. There were no homes outside of Tennessee at that time. I think they were building like a couple others. And I said, any plans to come outside of Tennessee? Because I've always been intrigued by foster care, because I've always felt I had a whole lot of love in my heart maybe that I could share with some children that need it. And I love children. They make me happy. And she said, absolutely not. We're not going outside of Tennessee. And I said, well, if you ever come to Virginia, I'm your girl. And I said that out loud. And fast forward a little bit to 2020, they were on a Facebook show, and it's called Returning the Favor. And that is with Mike Rowe, the guy that does Dirty Jobs.
Yeah.
And basically, it's like a giving back kind of thing. She thought they were just doing a documentary on her and the Isaiah House and the story. They ended up like helping them with their home office and outfitting it a little bit and doing some things for them. And I'm sure there was a donation in there somewhere. But after that aired, and then COVID happened. So what were we all doing? You know, sitting home watching TV, scrolling Facebook, seeing what everybody was doing.
That's right.
Walking our dogs two times a day, whatever. And they started getting a lot of inquiries and calls and, hey, we need this in our county. We need this in our county. So she thought, well, maybe this would work. If we operate under the Isaiah 117 house, and then we have Isaiah 117 house, Washington County, Virginia, Isaiah 117 house, Rockingham County, Virginia. You know, what can we do? And so in order to do that, you send in a 5-minute video. I think my video is 4 minutes and 8 seconds, which I'm sure everybody finds that hard to believe. Things I love, I can talk about them all day. And then they just kind of see, you know, what your story is and what your why behind this. I mean, I had no really affiliation with the foster care system or anything. I became a CASA, which is a court-appointed special advocate. That basically I just collect information for a court report for children in foster care, and I'm their advocate. But I didn't really have any, I knew some foster parents and things like that. But all I know is that no child on their worst day should be sitting in an office. That's
so
what
true.
I know.
Right. So true. Yeah.
And so I know it happens. I have a really good friend. She's a social worker in Augusta County. And since then, I've met so many friends now through this in Harrisonburg for CPS. But she came to watch Benny play basketball one time, and she said, oh, Ashley, I'm so tired. And I said, why? And she said, we're taking turns spending the night with a teenager in the CPS office. And I was like, oh, let me tell you about this house. And that was like back early on before I'd even sent the video in. And so sent that video in September 2023. And then they go through the board and all that just to see. And they ended up approving us for expansion. Yeah. And Greg and I went there in October, visited some homes. They said, Ashley, what scares you about this? I said, not one thing. And then I did tell them there ends up being three paid positions. And there's a location leader that's full-time, and then there's two part-time positions. Mm-hmm. One that takes care of the volunteers, and one takes care of the house, but they all work together. And I did tell them, hey, I got this little restaurant called Chick-fil-A, and I will not be leaving that, but I will volunteer all day long, and I will do this and help get this off the ground as best I can. But I'm not going to be the location leader. So I want y'all to know that up front. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times the volunteer expansion coordinator ends up being the location leader. So they knew that, you know, up front. And so we've been raising awareness in Rockingham County since March. Right. And I went to a training in January and learned to tell our story and why this is important to us. Mm-hmm. And then we had our kickoff in March. Mm-hmm. And then we've been raising awareness ever since. Just telling anybody and everybody that I can about this home that's coming to Rockingham County and why we need it. Another thing we had to do was meet with the CPS office, because they have to be on board. They're the ones that when they get children, they're removed from their home, then they would call us and say, so they got to get out of their routine. Whatever they've done before, if they've gone, just say they took them to a park to keep their eye on them, or they brought them to the office because that's where they needed to bring them to get their things done, they had to be on board. And so that was super amazing, too. They are so supportive and so excited. And when we finished that meeting, they looked at us and said, where has this been all of our life? Yeah.
So can you say that I'm a child, I'm getting removed from my home? Tell me what the journey is going to look like for the next couple of days.
So basically, they try to give them backpacks, but usually it's a black trash bag. And they tell them to gather their things that they're leaving. Now, we think, oh, wow, they're getting out of one situation that's bad, and they're going to go somewhere where they're safe. You know, where they're not, you know, and people, they're removed from their homes because of abuse, neglect. Well, basically those things, but then we know the other factors that factor into that and the reason those things happen, and it's not safe for them to be there. Right. So they get their things and they get in the car with a stranger, basically, you know, and they make their way to the CPS office. Now, I've never seen this happen. I've only heard stories about it. And I mean, I've attended some supervised visits in that office, and I've attended some meetings in that office, and hey, man, I mean, it's a good place to work. It's nice and comfortable. People want to work there, but it is not a place for children, and they've done the best they can. Many times these children, they're in desperate need of a bath. You know, they might have had the same diaper on for a few days. They may not have shoes. They may not. One story I heard was the little boy, he didn't know what to get, and he just got his grandma's clothes, and so he didn't even have any clothes. And so many times they have nothing. So they could go wait in the office for, it could be anywhere from 2-4 hours. And then if there is not placement, they could spend the night there. And there's no beds there. There's no bathtub. They're going to be sleeping on the floor. And I know that that weighs heavy on a caseworker's heart, too.
Oh, yes.
Listen, there's no people that work. I thought teachers worked hard. I mean, I was a teacher. And I thought we worked hard. No. I mean, they do work hard. But caseworkers, the things they see, the things they hear, the things that they have to endure, the things they read in a report, and then the things that they witness where they're trying to do their job to make sure that our children are in the safest environment, that has to weigh heavy on their heart. Absolutely. And so, they're scared. They have to be. And then think about it, too. I mean, they have a few toys and stuff, but there's really nothing to do. So then they could get in trouble. Mm-hmm. So many times they're hungry. I mean, the list goes on and on. And so the CPS worker is working hard, too. They got to call all next of kin to see, hey, will you take them in your home? Because we had to remove them from their home. So then, if you think about it, if they're in the same room and they're old enough to know what's going on, then they're going to hear, oh, yeah. Thank you. Oh, okay, I understand. Every time. So that's more rejection and then more unknown. Where am I going? Yeah. What am I doing? I don't know. Yeah. So the Isaiah House, it has a mission that is threefold. One, we want to reduce the trauma on the worst day of their life. Any way we possibly can. Now, it's going to be traumatic, but then once they come to that white house with the red door and walk in, there's fuzzy blankets and somebody's greeting them saying, hey, I know you're scared. Come sit with me. They want to cry, we'll cry. If they want to color, we'll color. We can blow bubbles. We can. What do you want to eat? Taco Bell? Sure. We're on. We've got you. And you are safe here. And so we're going to reduce the trauma there. We're going to lighten the load for the caseworkers. I mean, can you imagine having to try to take care of a child and then try to make phone calls and then try to fill out all this paperwork and try to find the absolute best placement? Gives them a little bit of time. They might find a foster family who's like, that they know will say yes because they do, but maybe that's not the absolute best placement. Maybe they already have enough on their plate and they need to find another one. And then the last one is it makes the yes for the foster families a little bit easier because that makes the transition easier because they will have been fed, they will have been bathed, they'll have in the giving room. The lady in Greene County, Tennessee, she told me, she said, Ashley, we try everybody to leave here with two pairs of pajamas and three outfits and something special.
And a suitcase to put it in.
Yeah.
Not the
and a duffel bag or
not the black
trash bag. And they've been bathed. And as best that they can, we're going to say that they're going to be happy because they have been welcomed and they're going to feel loved. Yeah. We're going to lavishly love on them. While they're there. I just can't even. It just makes me so excited, and I cannot wait till this house is open, because you know who's going to volunteer? Me.
That's right.
Yep, me and Greg B are going to volunteer, and he said yes. So before anybody's like, are you sure? Yes, he said yes. He never would say yes to being a foster parent, but he said yes to volunteering. Yeah. And I cannot wait till we're on call, and I can, because that's sad. But then we're going to get to say, hey, I'm Ashley.
We'll go to Chick-fil-A.
What do you want to do? Yeah. You want some Chick-fil-A? I know those people there. They're so sweet. And we're going to do whatever that they need to make their transition easier. And then the foster family, we're going to have some freezer meals for them so they don't have to cook the next few days. They're not going to have to make them run to Walmart at 11 o'clock to buy what they need for the children. They'll have it all.
Yeah.
They need a bed, we'll find it. If they, there's going to be the giving room in those places is unbelievable. And would they accept new things? Because we figure these children deserve some new things.
That's right.
And anytime anything that would be brought that was gently used, we'd make sure it had a home to go to for sure. People that could use it. But it's really a no-brainer. I mean, why didn't we think of this a long time ago?
Yeah.
Because it's perfect.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a long answer to your question.
That's great.
That's a great answer. I'm just so grateful that the connections have been made and that it is coming here. It sounds like it's not just a ministry to the kids, but it's a ministry to the workers.
Absolutely. And one thing that is very exciting is on the 17th, we're big on 17, the number. And on the 17th of every month, we have a little care committee within our Isaiah House expansion group, which after our fundraiser that your sweet little church is letting us have here, luncheon and dinner, amazing, because y'all have been so supportive in all of this. Then we will change from expansion meetings to connections meetings because it's going to really happen. I mean, that I ever doubted it was going to happen. But we get to do something special for them every month. I mean, it could be something little like cookies, or I think we took them bags of chips and just a little note that says, hey, we see what you're doing and we love you and we support you and we're here for you.
Do you allow other churches to help with that?
We would love that. So my dream of this, I should back up and say I'm being replaced and I'm okay with it. I'm going from volunteer expansion coordinator to volunteer. And they got special permission, our area did, to hire a little bit early and for us to be the guinea pigs because they knew I wasn't going to stay.
Yeah.
And so usually they wouldn't make that decision until after the fundraiser, luncheon and dinner, and after the 6 months is up. But Demoria, who's our Virginia State Director, she said, hey, let's try this because we know what's happening. And y'all, they have hired the best person for the job. I mean, to say that she's qualified for this and that this is a perfect job for her is an understatement. And it's going to be amazing. And I get chills every time I say it out loud. But her name is Jenny Butcher, and her first day was Monday. And it's just amazing. And the whole story of how it happened, and I mean, it's just the best. And so I'm super pumped for her, and I'm super pumped for me that I can come alongside of her and help her do whatever she needs. But I'm also glad somebody else is going to be the boss of this, because yes. I'm a boss of enough.
That's right. That's
so exactly right. I'm super excited to that. Yeah. Now, I'm not going anywhere. I mean, I've already told her. I said, when we have to form a board, may I please be the president? Because I'm pretty sure I would win that election.
Yeah.
So I'm super pumped about that, and yes. that's just been really exciting. And so she has a amazing story. She she's a success.
Yeah.
And she's been in the system, and not because she hasn't worked hard,
right,
and not because some things in her life weren't sad, but is because, well, first, we all know it's because of Jesus. I mean,
yes.
You know, none of us can do anything without that, but without him. But I mean, it's just the best story. And I just think about when she comes, many times she might be the first person that they see before her and the whoever the care coordinator and the support coordinators are, before maybe the volunteers haven't gotten there yet. And I just cannot imagine her looking in a little baby's face and going, hey, I was scared too. Come sit with me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so exciting.
So let's rewind. You said something about a lunch and a dinner.
Yes.
So let's not, I don't want to miss that.
I know.
I'm so excited.
So we had our kickoff. The next thing we did was we had a Church Connections breakfast, and we invited all of our pastor friends in the area to the Church Connections breakfast. I didn't realize that Fridays is not great for my pastor friends, and so next time I'll know better. And so we had a decent turnout, but I ended up just starting emailing people that I knew, you know, and just to make sure that they knew about it. And Pastor Margaret was there, though, so kudos to her. And so then we did that, and then I've been talking to everybody. We've been at the fair. I've been to Rotary. I've spoken at a few churches. And then Jenny will end up taking that over too. I feel like I maybe should do the obligations I've already done just in case. And then that way she can go with me till she gets her story down pat, because hers is going to be a really good story, but she'll have to plan all that out.
We'll let her tell it here one day.
Absolutely. And then our, we've had expansion meetings, and then our big thing is in September. So that's 6 months. We're going to have a luncheon and dinner on the same day here at the Church of the Nazarene. Doors open for the lunch at 11:30, and then the lunch will be from 12 to 1. We don't like to mess around. You know, we're going to get in here, we're going to tell the story, and then get you gone, because nobody likes to linger for, you know. And then we'll clean all that up, and then we'll have the dinner. Doors open at 5:30, and we'll have that from 6 to 7. Now, if I'm just being really honest, I mean, let's just face the facts. Dinner could go a little bit longer, maybe like 15 minutes, just because we're going to actually have a buffet for that. So it could go a little bit longer. But my hope is that, so Ethan that works here, he sets up the building. And so we are going to help Ethan do that. And that was part of the deal. They said, yes, Ashley, y'all can have. I said, we have no money. Can you help us? And they said, yes, we can help you, but you're going to have volunteers to help us set up. And then I think Ethan maybe likes me, and I think we're friends. And so I think he's going to help us too. But I was talking at something, and he was there. And I said, you know, my goal, 32 tables for lunch, 32 tables for dinner. And Ethan came up to me after, and he goes, you know, Ashley, we can fit 40 tables in there. And I said, I know, Ethan, I just don't know if I know, and I hope we have 40.
Yeah.
Well, I've had to email Ethan and say, guess what? I mean, 40. we got 40 tables for dinner. I mean, and I'm having to finagle a little bit and figure out how to, like, some people, if their table's not filled, to add some people to it, because I want a full house.
Yeah.
And I think I'm up to 34, something like that, for lunch. I mean, we're still not done. So that is going to be super exciting. Rhonda and Corey will be here.
Great.
And Rhonda will tell the story in much better detail than what I say, but in her great East Tennessee accent.
Yes.
So it's going to be amazing. And there will be an ask at the end, because y'all, we got a lot of money to raise. And that, I will admit, has scared me. Now, I did not major in business. We all know that. I was a special ed teacher. Okay. So everything I've learned from business, I've learned from the School of Hard Knocks. And
trial by fire.
Exactly. And by failing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hey, this worked, this didn't, this, you know, and that's how we learn. So there will be an ask at the end, and that has bothered me a little bit. But what I know this home is supposed to be here. I know I can see the Lord in this at every turn. And I know that our community is generous. I had somebody think I didn't live here, you know, I guess because the way I talked when I was somewhere. She goes, the community is so generous. I go, yes, I know, I live here, you know? And so I've lived here almost as long as I lived in Tennessee.
Yeah.
I've lived in Virginia almost as long as I lived in Tennessee. And so I know that. And so anytime I get a little bit nervous about that, I just chalk it up to, hey, I'm not in control of that. And I know that he wants this home to be here. And so we will work to raise the first 2 years budget. Cause you know, any nonprofit, you always want to be a year ahead.
Yes.
You don't want anybody to have to worry about, oh, am I going to get paid this month? No, right. We're not going to worry about that. So we're going to be the first 2 years. And that, it used to be $150,000 a year. Now I think it's 180. So that's what, 360?
Yeah.
And then we've got to either remodel a house or build a house or buy some land or buy a house. Or
someone can give you one.
Oh, would that not be the best?
Yeah,
I mean,
that would be great.
So my dream is that somebody comes up to us and just says, hey, I got a half an acre. I don't need it. Mm-hmm. And it is right where you need it to be. And you build your house on it. Because I would love for us to be able to build a house. They got a house plan and everything.
Oh, yeah. It's
the same.
It's a great plan.
Yeah, it's beautiful. The houses have a boys' room and a girls' room, open floor plan, two bathrooms, a office for the CPS worker, a big kitchen table, you know, just a gathering space, a porch, place to play outside. Most of them have a visitation room in the bottom. And that is super exciting, too, because hopefully, you know, reunification is always the goal.
Yes.
Hey, let's restore and forgive and make it so that they can be a family. Yeah. And so what better place to do it in, like, a little place that looks like a living room that has a kitchenette, not an office space with a chair and a few toys, so that they could cook a meal together, eat a meal together, and so they can have supervised visits there. Total separate entrance, and then CPS workers would know how to get in there. But yeah, that would be my dream.
Yeah.
Hey, I would take somebody's house that they said, hey, you can remodel it, you can tear it down, you can do, you know, and build back. That would be amazing too, because we all know with remodels, I mean, I think that's super fun, and I think HGTV has made everyone brave. Hey, I can go in there.
Yeah.
I can take down that wall, you know, but you never know what you're getting sometimes.
Boy.
And sometimes it can be more costly than it would be to build a house.
Yeah.
After the luncheon and dinner, we'll have a contractor's breakfast. And I met somebody that was amazing too. And he said, I'm a little bit tired of boards and things like that. I said, hey, I get that. When my kids were little, Greg B and I made a pact. We would do nothing unless it was after 8:30. So if you want me to be on your board, we got to meet at 9.
Yeah.
Most people didn't want me to do that because we just felt like it was important to put both our kids to bed together. So he took one, I took one, and, you know, that's what we did. And I told him, I said, hey, I get that. And then I started talking, hey, our next thing's contractor's breakfast. And he said, I got you. I'll invite all the contractors. He actually works for a construction company.
Yeah.
So just how people have come out of the woodwork, or foster care has touched their life, or they were adopted, or they were in foster care, or their parents ran, they fostered, or their grandmama did, or, I mean, it's just amazing.
Thank you for listening to part one of today's broadcast as we talked with Ashley Bellamy about the Isaiah 117 house We pray that you'll join us next Sunday at noon right here on 1470 AM and 102.1 FM WBTX for part two of our interview with Ashley Bellamy. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.